This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. Legal cases are piling up in response to executive orders and other actions in the first month of the new Trump administration. We're joined now by CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Thane, thanks for joining us this morning.
Anytime for you, Megan. You know that.
Well, a large number of these lawsuits relate to some of the budget freezes and the firings. When we look at these areas, what are some of the legal questions that the courts are facing right now?
Well, one question is whether the courts have any role to play in this. That's one argument the Trump administration is making. We're making changes to the executive branch. You're in the judicial branch. Yes, there's checks and balances, but we won an election by a majority under a platform to reduce, shrink the size of the federal workforce and root out waste. Back off. This is what we do. There's also something called the unitary executive theory, which says that the president has wholesale control over the executive branch. He's the chief, or she is the chief executive. And so when it comes to these issues, this is really a decision solely in the hands of the president. The counter argument is, well, except that he's doing things that have a massive effect on money, how the government spends its money. And you know who has power over the purse under our Constitution? It's Congress. And so therefore, he can't do this without congressional authorization. Some of the people he's firing have job protections by Congress. They created agencies, yes, agencies under the federal government in the executive branch, but Congress created the agencies and they funded the agencies. So you don't have that kind of rights, even though you think you do.
Related to a lot of these lawsuits is DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency that's been created. Where does this entity fall legally, constitutionally?
So that's an interesting question, because it's not like the president actually made up a whole new it has to do with like digital computing. So it's clear that what Elon Musk has done with his legions has gone way beyond anything it's done before. But it's not like it created an entirely new entity. The entity itself exists, but it had a different mandate. So the president's position is, I have a lot of, you know, not every person who works in the executive branch receives advice and consent from the Senate or receives confirmation hearings by the Congress. There's a lot of people that work in my White House and work in the various federal agencies that are political appointments, and those are political appointments that I have control over. So the real question is, you know, can DOGE exist in the way that it does, right? Can it operate in a way that it has never done before? And given the fact that there may be a title that Elon Musk is occupying, it's a very different job description now, because it looks like he's all powerful. And I think that's what the those who were challenging, they're saying, even if you could claim that this once existed, yeah, it had a different role, but it existed. And now Elon Musk is there and he hired the people that he wanted. Never before has someone in that position played this kind of an outside role in shrinking the workforce, rooting out waste, all the various things that they've done, and making hiring and firing decisions. So that's where the Doge piece comes from. You know, it is now a very, very active federal agency, even though it was an agency before that no one even knew existed.
What access does it legally have to sensitive data? Because that's one of the red flags that has been raised by critics.
Right. So, you know, the question there is it functioning like the, you know, the head of the Treasury, right? Okay. Who has access to Social Security numbers? You know, he's claiming that he's not looking at any personal data that's related to, you know, taxes. He's claiming I have data that's related to payments, who's getting paid and why they're getting paid. And that's why he's saying that's why everyone's very upset, because they don't like the idea that I'm looking into the payment system because it looks corrupt. It looks like, you know, anyone's looking at this and saying, what? We paid this for that? Now we're hearing the billions of dollars that have been wasted, or we had no awareness of where it went, or went to people that didn't even work there anymore. So those are the things that I think that are getting Americans to say, wait a minute, can we just calm down a second? If this is all they're doing, shouldn't we all be on the same page that our tax dollars should be appropriated and used in the same, in the correct way? But, you know, the real question is he have access to personal data? Well, you know, the IRS does. He may not work for the IRS. They're claiming that he doesn't have that kind of access. But again, the argument is there's a difference between personal data and payments. And they're making the argument, the administration, that really all they're interested in is who's getting paid and why.
I think what's really interesting in this now is that we've had over the weekend or since Friday, a couple of lawsuits that are directed at Elon Musk, not just Doge or the administration. You know, they accuse him of wielding too much power without accountability. You know, who's on the hook for that when you look at a lawsuit that names him? Does the administration pay for that? Do taxpayers pay for that? Or does Elon Musk pay for that?
Yeah, well, that's all interesting questions. In theory, this is the Justice Department, the Department of Justice, the Attorney General serves in the executive branch as well. So, you know, this is a case that's really not a case. You know, he was appointed to a job, right? So you can sue him to seek a temporary restraining order to stop him from working, just like Donald Trump tried to fire someone in the whistleblowing section of the federal agencies. And that case yesterday, I think it was prepared yesterday and it'll be filed, I think, on Tuesday at the end of the holiday, is a lawsuit directly to the Supreme Court because a judge and a federal appeals judge upheld a temporary restraining order on the firing of a person in one of these federal agencies. That could be, you know, what Donald Trump has been doing throughout, firing people who are the head of agencies. Again, many of those people have protections by Congress that there can't be a firing without cause. And so there requires a much more detailed, you know, report as to why this is being undertaken. I'm pretty sure that, you know, the government is funding Elon Musk's legal bills, but I'm also pretty sure that he has private attorneys who are working alongside with the government, because, you know, his argument is, hey, I was asked by the occupant of the Oval Office to perform a job, and I'm performing a job, and he's happy with what I'm doing, and I should be paying the price for it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, some of the states have said it is stretching their budgets, you know, to join in on some of these lawsuits. How many of these issues are we likely to see go through all the courts and reach the U.S. Supreme Court? You know, you mentioned the case that's likely being filed directly, but, you know, how will these work through?
Well, you know, you're raising an interesting question when it comes to states, right? State attorneys general. One question is, and we haven't seen it yet, but some of those cases look that they should be dismissed on standing grounds, right? Like on procedural grounds. What business, this is the argument the Trump administration make, what business is it of the state government, the state attorneys general, whose job it is to deal with consumer protection, consumer welfare? What do you have to do with the cutting of the federal budget? Who are you? Not everyone in America can file a lawsuit. Many lawsuits get dismissed on legal standing. Interesting theory. You're not the one that's allowed to bring it. You don't have an interest in this. And so we might start seeing some of those. I'm pretty sure that if these cases went to the Supreme Court, this conservative Supreme Court would take that position. We don't even have to get to the merits of these issues, because the people bringing this have no standing in our courtroom to bring these. So my understanding, there's at least 14 states that have joined in a number of these lawsuits, and they've been successful to some degree. But remember, state attorneys general, they have to explain why state taxpayers should foot the bill for these. You know, as people don't forget, like some of these cases against Donald Trump, you know, they cost the federal government tens of millions of dollars in the labor force to actually prosecute these cases. So it's not like, you know, these things, you know, it's a public case, so therefore it doesn't cost us anything. It's ironic. It's another possible misuse of public funds. If you're paying state taxes and your state attorney general is filing these lawsuits, he or she is using your money to protect you, and you're saying, I don't work for the federal government. He's not protecting my job. And none of, you know, it's one thing to fight for state employment, but what does this have to do with federal employment? The same argument was done by labor unions. Unless these are federal labor unions, just a labor union in general that represents car manufacturers, car worker, auto workers. Yeah, I understand you don't like people getting fired, but they're not your people. So some of these cases could end up getting dismissed on procedural grounds. In terms of could they go to the Supreme Court, I think some of them can. Why? Because it raises this question of the separation of powers. Trump is not alone. The last four administrations, Democrats and Republicans, have enacted a lot of laws by circumventing Congress and using the executive powers under executive orders. And I think there is a lot of confusion. How much power does the president have to enact his or her policies without anyone else's oversight? And maybe the Supreme Court needs to finally weigh in on that.
CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum, thank you as always.
Thank you, Megan.